It is Friday morning. Good morning to you. Well, ahead of the federal election, a group of mayors from across Australia have called for federal leaders to act on, as a priority, climate change and commit to phasing out fossil fuels and lock in 100% renewable energy targets. Now, the mayors have come together as part of the Cities Power Partnership, an initiative formed by the Climate Council, which is seeking to facilitate the sharing of knowledge between local governments, and which has received funding support from the Australian Renewable Energy Agency. Now, our mayor, Julia Loy, is one of the mayors who've signed up to this. Good morning, Julia.
Oh, good morning, Paul.
Julia, are you the only Queensland mayor to do so?
Look, I think I might be, actually. I do know that as far as the program, the Cities for Power Partnership program under the Climate Council, Douglas Shire Council was one of 35 councils in Australia that were founding members in 2017, and we were one of three Queensland councils at that time. I do know that now there is more than 100 councils nationally that have signed up, including Cairns Regional Council, I understand, and a couple of others. In terms of who has signed up to this particular statement, there's a number of mayors, as you can see, if you've got that in front of you.
Yes, but you look like the only one in Queensland at this stage.
Yes, look, that is my understanding, Paul.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, it's a joint statement, I guess, to federal leaders to wake up to themselves. Now, you've listed three demands, including strong national climate policy aligned to the science and a national commitment to rapidly transitioning to 100% clean energy. That's the first one, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, tell us about that.
Look, I suppose we all know in terms of the background to this, and I think it's really interesting that even just this week, there's been a UN report that's been released that actually says that we have 12 years to avoid climate catastrophe. We also have had some statements by David Attenborough, who's been warning of irreversible damage to our natural world and the collapse of our societies. We have young people that have been standing out and prepared to stand up and state what they believe, what they want for their future in terms of tackling climate change. And we've seen that even in our Cairns region. And so I think there's a whole move. There's a much better acceptance of the reality of climate change. And I think increasingly, I've certainly noticed in the last few years, particularly probably this year with the federal election looming, that there are a lot of people who really are concerned about climate change. We know that it's responsibility of everyone. We know that it's certainly a global issue, but we all can do something even at the micro level and even at the council level. The real aim of this statement, Paul, was actually to, because it's from local government, local government is often at the forefront of a lot of issues, and Douglas Shire Council in particular has taken a lot of steps towards tackling climate change. We've formally adopted a climate change policy that directs council to acknowledge the impact of climate change during decision making. We've got initiatives such as calculating and reducing our council's carbon footprint. We're investigating a feasibility study for a solar farm. We're certainly using renewable energy to power our council buildings. Whoever gets in power on May the 18th, God forbid if it's a hung parliament, but whoever has ended up with the final decision making at the federal level, that they provide long-term finance to support implementation of clean energy and to support local government in their initiatives. Investigation, for example, into a solar farm is a really interesting one, and we've only just received some preliminary information about that, and we'll be going to the next step.
We're talking with Julia Loy, our Mayor of the Douglas Shire. Now, Julia, I congratulate you for signing up on that. I think it's a wonderful move, and it shows that our council wants to be green and clean. So this is where I can't work it out. I can't work it out that you want your council to be green and clean. You very much say that. You state it all the time. And yet this federal government grant of nearly $1 million to kick off this 100% renewable project in the Daintree. That is to provide hydrogen and provide a power grid so power can come into the Daintree. Why aren't you just putting your hand up with this, giving it the green tick of approval, but we don't hear anything from you and the council? What's holding you back?
I have welcomed the study. I've already said that a number of times. There are different viewpoints.
No, you've welcomed the study, but I'm wondering if you're going to support this. Do you support a hydrogen power grid in the Daintree to do away with generators and the spewing out of all of these millions of litres of diesel?
I do welcome the study. And now that we've got bipartisan support...
Okay, so you're not answering the question, Julia. Do you support this grid?
What I support and what I've already said is that I support this particular study taking the opportunity to analyse all options and options that are truly renewable. There is a number of different viewpoints that actually question whether this preferred option that is part of the announcement that the LNP has just said in the last few days, there are various viewpoints about whether that is truly renewable. So if you're asking me what's holding me back, it's because I know that there are different viewpoints about whether this is truly renewable. What I think we have now is the opportunity, particularly as we have bipartisan support in terms of an amount of money, to look at what is the true renewable solution for power in the Daintree that does not impact negatively on the environment and, more importantly, takes into account the potential for overdevelopment and increased settlement.
This overdevelopment argument, I just don't think it flies, Julia. It's not going to happen. But what do you think of all of these generators spewing out? You obviously, you've said to me before, you don't really believe Russell O'Doherty's figures. Is that correct?
I think what we need to do is, and this is where I think the studies will give us this opportunity, is to actually test and check the veracity of the initial information that has led to where we are now. And that gives people the opportunity, of course, to provide that information again if they're happy with what they've already provided. Mm. I know that there's a lot of people who have stated to me that they weren't asked and there have been a lot of meetings of where they haven't been able to attend. And I think if there is a proper survey with the acknowledgement of what really are going to be the costs, I think this is where, I mean, $1 million is a lot of money. And certainly I think we can have a very robust consultation process and certainly a very thorough analysis of what really are the costs and also what are the options and what really will be the best for the Daintree well into the future.
A caller, Lawrence, rang me and said he uses about 700 litres of diesel a week in a generator. Now, he's only small compared to others. Do you believe that there are millions of litres of diesel burnt in the Daintree over a year, over that period? Do you believe that?
Look, I can only believe what is out there, and I really couldn't say. I mean, I'm not saying that people aren't saying the truth about how much diesel they're using.
But that must worry you, Julia. Julia, that must concern you, surely.
Yes, I was just actually trying to answer that, Paul. Of course it concerns me. It concerns everyone. And that is exactly why we need a truly renewable solution. If this one is the one that stacks up, great. But I do think, given the fact that there's other people who do have different viewpoints about what is the truly renewable solution for the Daintree, and one that actually does take into account the potential for overdevelopment and increased settlement, because that will be the thing that over time would and could change not just the World Heritage values of the Daintree, the wilderness aspect, the call for a bridge, feeling of the Bluefield track. This is a very special place that people fought hard for 30 years ago. And I think that we can achieve renewable energy in the Daintree It's certainly incredibly important in terms of our status as an ecotourism destination. And I think we can do that. And now I think it's a fantastic opportunity because we do have bipartisan support, at least in having a heap of money to actually do a thorough, robust and professional analysis of what we need to achieve.
Julia Loy, as far as this overdevelopment is concerned, I mean, is the concern that you have about this, and I don't think that will happen, not with based on what I've spoken to people about, it's not going to happen. But is your fear that with the council election next year, there might be people who come in who will change the town plan, who will change the goalpost, move the goalpost?
There is two answers to that, Paul. Of course, there is a potential for overdevelopment and increased settlement. And anyone who has been to any of the beautiful spots up and down the coast in Queensland over many years can see them change. The golden goose that drew people here, that attract visitors internationally, that make David Attenborough, you know, say how wonderful the place will be gone. And that can happen, and everyone has seen that. You see it really rapidly in many beautiful spots, you know, throughout Asia or South America, for example. The second question, of course our town plan can be changed. I mean, at the moment, we do have the development ban, we've had the buyback, but it's only ever been half achieved. There are still a lot of blocks that, of course, are not developed at this stage. There are still possibilities for approvals. So, naturally, the increased settlement and the potential for overdevelopment, I think, is a real threat in the years to come.
Okay. Julia Loy, thank you for your time.
Okay. No worries, Paul. Bye-bye.